Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is Beth Bielo, and you're listening to the Introvert Entrepreneur Podcast. Thanks so much for joining me today. As surely as Christmas happens on December 25th every year, stress levels seem to skyrocket during the holiday season between just before Thanksgiving and just after New Year's. There's pressure coming from all sides to be happy, to find just the right gifts, to attend parties and family dinners, to feel connected to the reason for the season, while also running around like a crazy person, shopping, eating, and socializing. This is exhausting for most people, and doubly so for the introvert who needs lots of time and space in the midst of the joyful chaos. How can we navigate the holiday season while honoring the needs of our hearts, minds, and spirit? How do we stay sane through it all? My guest today is here to show us how we can take some of the stress out of the holidays and stay connected to what's most important. Sandy Fowler is a wife and mom who has done it all, from working for a Fortune 500 company, living overseas, homeschooling her kids, and leading volunteer organizations, to being a stay-at-home mom and starting her own businesses. Through it all, she discovered how to be happy, content, and excited no matter what the outer circumstances of her life. Now she shares those lessons with you. Her practical approach to living, working, and prospering lets you find a way to create the change you desire, showing you how to create a fabulous holiday and an extraordinary life, one that you love. As the creator of Heart-Filled Holidays Project, Sandy teaches you how to design a stress-free holiday that warms your heart and feeds your spirit. Her book, Heart-Filled Holidays, Inspiration for Designing Your Perfect Holiday Season, gives you an inside look at Sandy's holidays and how she creates Christmases she loves, providing the inspiration for your own holiday. Her events help you think about your holidays and show you how you can have the holiday you want, one filled with fun and meaning. Sandy, I am really excited to have you on the show. Thanks for being here today.
Well, Beth, I'm appreciative that you invited me. I love your work, and I'm really excited to be a part of what you're doing and to be able to help people who really want to have a great Christmas or a great holiday season. So thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So to kick things off and to lend some context, I talked about Heart-Filled Holidays Project during the introduction. What led you to create the Heart-Filled Holidays Project?
That's an interesting question, because it's something that happened over a course of, or came into being, really, over the course of a few years. And initially, I had this little niggly feeling that I wanted to do something about sharing what my family had done. Because, you know, you go back to work after the holidays and you talk to people, or you're chatting with your neighbor over the fence, or family members, friends, whoever, and you naturally talk about what did you do during the holidays, how was it, or even during that preparation time, you're standing in line talking to a stranger or talking to a friend, and people are squawking and complaining. Or they'll ask me, as I'm talking about what a great time we're having, or I'll talk about, people say, what did you get? And I'll talk about the gifts my children made for me or something my husband made for me. And they'll go, oh, my gosh, that's so cool. How do you do that? And you try to give them a little synopsis, but mostly they go, oh, wow, that's a great idea. But it kind of goes over their head. It sort of washes over them. Like, they can't hang on to it for the next 11 months and remember what to do next year.
Yeah.
And so I really wanted to be able to let other people experience what we did. And so that was sort of a niggling feeling there. And then a few different things happened, and a reporter at the Detroit Free Press wanted to interview me about what my family was doing. And at that point, a friend of mine gave me a kick in the pants and said, you have to give people something more than what they're going to fit in an article.
Yeah, yay for friends.
Yeah.
That's a good friend.
I started a blog, and it was actually pretty funny because the idea of the blog was my family, all four of us, I have a husband and two girls, and all four of us were going to just be blogging about what was happening that year so people could just get an inside peek and get some ideas and kind of see what it looked like. Well, that year, the things we normally do, everything just shifted and changed in the middle because people started getting sick, and you know how that is when you have a house full of people, one after another after another. And we had to really sit down and put our own tools to use, the things I teach people to do. We had to really buckle down and use every single one we had to go, okay, how are we still going to enjoy our holidays with all these other things that are going on and having to be caretaker and then be sick myself? And so the blog fizzled out that year.
Yeah.
So the following year I started looking and went, okay, well, this wasn't such a great idea. And so I decided to at least get the basic ideas down into the book. And then started building the website for the book, and now I'm doing a blog with it, and it's just kind of grown. The blog is a fairly new concept for this year, but it's going to be a combination of the sort of wisdom side of things and general comments along with very specific tips, ideas, traditions, things you can do. And that is this sort of long process. It's kind of what Heartfelt Holidays has been for my family. You know, we went through this process, and now the sharing it with other people is the same thing. It's gone through a process. Just along the way, people said, how can I do this, and can you help me do that? And so I started doing some coaching, and it's just grown naturally out of people asking me, how do I do what you're doing? How do I enjoy my holiday the way your family does?
Yeah, like I want me some of that. You know, when they see you having a good time and, you know, not looking frazzled and out of sorts in the long lines and such. And Sandy, I really appreciate what you said about one thing I left out of that intro was about how the holidays often do bring illness. I mean, you know, people tend to get sick, and some of it might be stress. It's the time of year. It's winter time. Colds are going around. And that's another thing that kind of adds a layer of complexity to all of this.
Yes, it does. And that just requires a little more flexibility.
Yes, yes, something that we sometimes don't feel like we have much of during that time of year. So it sounds like you and your family, you know, like you said, it grew very organically out, and you really got to walk the talk, which is makes it that much more powerful for other people.
And it's a reminder to me, and it gives me a way of reminding other people, this isn't, creating Heartfelt Holiday for yourself is not, I'm going to do these three things this year, and then this is what we're going to do forever and always, and everything will be perfect because we set this in stone. It's not that type of a process. It is a process. It's something that you do year after year, and what's great about that is that it ebbs and flows. It shifts and changes as your life changes. You know, I mentioned I have two girls. When we first started, what I would call first starting, really doing Heartfelt Holidays, although we did not call it that then. It was just trying to get moms some sanity back then. But when we first started, they were little. They weren't even in school yet. And now high school and middle school, things change. And we, like I said, we did years of homeschooling. Well, with them in school now, that changes things. And what's great about it is as we went through that, I discovered not just tips and techniques, because those are great, and those are wonderful to help out in a particular situation or in the short term. It's great to have a quick tool you can grab. But what I uncovered by doing this myself and then working with other people is that foundation, the core process that you can follow, the step-by-step path that you go, I do this and I do this and I do this, and I can keep changing that, and it will change and grow with me and my family.
Yeah, it seems to me you're helping us find that center that we can stay with as things around us change. And, you know, one of the things that doesn't change, and as I mentioned in the intro, the holidays come at the same time every year. It's never a surprise. And yet I'm always surprised at how people, you know, it's almost like there's a story around it that holidays equal stress, that, you know, the two things are synonymous. And for introverts, I think it's especially so because of the extra activity, the family visits, the socialization, the office parties. There's no place you can escape all of that, and maybe, you know, have your chance for some solitude. So since we know the holidays are coming, and before things start to get, you know, before things step up and activity becomes more crazy, what can we do to take care of ourselves in advance of all of that?
Beth, I love this question. I love that you are looking at it going, all right, we know it's coming, let's be proactive.
Right.
Because the fact of the matter is that I can help you with this any time of the year, and I can help you make things better all the way through Christmas. And if you sit back and you take a deep breath and you look at things now, you will have a much better result, and it will be much easier. And then next year, you take a look at it a little bit sooner. You know, maybe next year you might at least start thinking about it in, you know, October. Or some people even just sort of take a quick peek in September and go, you know, what's coming up? Is this year going to have a whole major changes? But right now, what I would recommend for introverts especially is two things. One is be open and honest with yourself and the people who are closest to you. You know you're an introvert. You know that that brings certain gifts, and it brings certain stresses. Everybody has their gifts, and everybody has the things that stress them out. So if attending all these events is really exhausting and runs down your batteries and you don't have time to recharge, having a conversation, I talk about having heartfelt, healthy conversations with the people you're closest to and saying, hey, you know, I love seeing you guys. And doing 4 family functions in 3 days means that I'm not going to be much fun to be around. So could we look at maybe shifting things around a little? Or could you guys cut me a little slack? Maybe you bow out of a couple of functions, or you come for a little while. Or I have a couple people in my family who will go in the middle of a party and sit in the other room for a while and maybe read a newspaper or take a nap, whatever. It's just too much for them. So even during the event, they'll just kind of casually check out and come back. And we all know this. We didn't even have to have a conversation about it. They've just kind of always done it, and everybody accepts it. So be honest with other people and be honest with yourself. Don't get caught up in these stories like, I have to be at everything and I have to be right in the middle of everything. You can be at the holiday party at the office and be along the fringes. You don't have to dive in the middle of it. So be open and honest with yourself and with other people, and be choosy. Be choosy about how you spend your time and what you decide to attend and to go to. You do not have to attend every single thing you're invited to.
That's a hard one to get our minds around sometimes when there's so much peer pressure to show up everywhere.
There is a lot of peer pressure, and I spend a lot of time working with people when we work more one-on-one or small groups, helping them find their way through that. Because it's very hard. It is very hard to look at good cause or a family function or a work function, anything where you feel obligated. It's very hard to look at those and say, I'm just going to pick and choose and go to some things. But there's a beautiful thing that you can do, a little quick technique here, real short. I got more on it, but especially women have this problem. We have the need to explain ourselves.
Yes.
I can't come to the event because you don't have to explain yourself. I had a great conversation back to school night for my kids. I was talking to another mom there. She's a business owner, and I loved it. She said, my afternoon appointment every day is my daughter. And yes, if a client absolutely needs to meet in the afternoon, then she will juggle that around and move it. But she doesn't say, I'm sorry, my daughter's coming home from school and I need to be there for her and I need to spend some time with her and find out how her day went. I need to be mom for a while. When they're setting up an appointment, she just says, I have an appointment at that time, or tells them the time she has available and omits that one. It's the same thing when you're doing holiday parties. You do not have to explain yourself to everybody. You could just not be available.
Great point, because yes, and that's something I'm actually practicing, is not needing to have an excuse or not needing to explain. And there are ways that we can say what we need to say in a very courteous way that is not also not apologetic. like you said, the woman doesn't say, I'm sorry, that's my daughter time. She just says, this is what, I have a standing appointment here. Is there another time? Because we tend to apologize.
And what's more important than taking care of yourself?
Not much.
I know that it's easy to say, well, I need to take care of my kids and they need to do that. Well, tell me this. When you have gone to 7 functions in 5 days, do you think you can really take care of your business properly? Can you take care of your family properly? Can you be a good friend when someone needs you? It's an important appointment on your schedule.
So before things start to get all, you know, holiday crazy, it sounds like what I'm hearing you say is, you know, to perhaps, you know, do some reflection and be open and honest with yourself and others about what you, and to be choosy about what you're going to be doing and to be able to communicate that in such a way that is not explaining yourself or making excuses or apologizing. It's simply saying, this is what I need and this is how I'm going to have the best holiday for myself and be able to be at my best with you so that I can truly enjoy my time with you.
That's a wonderful summary, Beth.
Well, it seems like that applies for holidays as well as any time before we are anticipating something stressful or something that's going to be demanding of us beyond what we sense is going to be comfortable. So Sandy, you alluded to at least one way that we can stay heart-filled in the midst of all of that activity when you mentioned when you're in a party, you don't have to be in the center of it. And you can also take care of yourself at that time by saying, you know, I'm going to step away for a few minutes into this quiet room, or I'm going to take a break and things like that. What other ways do you have that can help us stay centered?
Well, I'd like to take this one and do two different things. One is you use the word staying centered, and staying centered is staying, again, like we said, focused on what's most important to you. Staying focused on the events and the activities that support your idea of the holiday. The second thing is looking at it as staying centered in the sense of making sure that this holiday is really fulfilling for me. That I'm centering myself around the meaningful aspects of it. And from that standpoint, there are two things you could do here. One is something that you can practice throughout the season, no matter how things are playing out for you. You know, whether you're having the time of your life or whether you're feeling like you are just really pressured, one thing you can do to make your holiday better is to be present, be in the moment. Whatever you're doing, wherever you are, let everything else go and just be there. If you are going shopping for presents with a friend, be with your friend. Don't be spending your time thinking about all the stuff you have to do that evening. In fact, you and I have talked about this, Beth. This is, you know, it's really almost a form of multitasking. As we're doing one thing, we're always thinking about another or trying to cram in something else. Stop doing that. Just be present. Enjoy what you're doing. Because if you're not enjoying what you're doing, when do you expect to enjoy yourself? Are you expecting to do a whole bunch of work and then just have this one great day at the end? Because that's a lot of pressure to put on one poor little day, you know? And if you're running and crabby and cranky and everything all the way up to that day, other people may not want to be around you anymore by that point anyway. So if you're getting a Christmas tree, if you're volunteering somewhere, if you're driving up to deliver a gift basket, whatever you're doing, let yourself be there and enjoy that moment, whether it is literally a moment, you know, it's a minute or two, or it's an hour or a day. The second thing is done more easily earlier in the season. So all you folks who are listening now, this is a great opportunity because you are ahead of the game. And this is why I hold the majority of my events before Thanksgiving and sometimes even October, is because you can do things like this anytime, but they work way better up front. And that is saying yes and no to activities. You know, by choosing to spend your time on activities that give you warm fuzzies, that, you know, warm your heart, that feed your spirit, that's what keeps you centered and focused and gives you that heartfelt holiday. Using that word no kindly and carefully, mm-hmm. and gosh, I could go on about no for quite a while. And I'm going to take a little diversion if that's okay with you, Beth, because I really kind of want to go here for a minute. The one, what I was saying there, sorry, just to wrap that up, was using that word no to help you choose to spend your time on the things that are important and that fill you up and make this a meaningful holiday and that will keep you centered. The word no is not about the word no. It's about yeah. You know, we always hear no doesn't mean yes. Well, actually, in this context, it does. And we keep touching on this and coming back to it, and that's why I really want to go here for just a couple of minutes. When we say yes to one thing, we're saying no to something else. We might do it consciously. We might do it subconsciously. We might not have a clue that we're doing it at all, but eventually that to-do list is going to catch up with you, and some of it's just not going to get done. Because whatever holiday you're celebrating, whatever your big day is, this is absolutely huge during the holidays, but it's true for any event in any busy time in your life. At some point, the day of reckoning is going to come. And if you put too much on your to-do list and you have too many events on there and too many things to do and too many places to go, some of it won't get done. So by virtue of saying yes to everything, you have said no to some things. So if you sit back now and do what we've said, which is be honest with yourself, be choosy about what you do, and kindly and carefully say yes to what's really important and thank you, but no thank you to the things that aren't. You are absolutely not only setting up yourself to have a better holiday, but the other people around you.
And Sandy, what you're saying here is it seems like if one really sits down and reflects about this, you can set an intention for yourself about what kind of holidays you want to have. And you said something in the beginning of that couple of minutes when you said center in your idea of the holiday. So creating what's important to you, not necessarily what's important to mom or to sister or to husband or to mother-in-law. It's what do you want your experience of the holidays to be? And that's such a powerful distinction. And maybe keeps us centered in that place where we realize that we have a choice. Because often, like I think you've said before, if we feel like we have no choice, we have to go. So you're reminding us that the power of choice in all of this, and if that choice is based in intention and in what's important, what's most important to us, then having a heart-filled holiday is almost inevitable.
Yeah, and that's what I call Ray's principle. You always have a choice. Whether you feel like it or not, you do have a choice.
Yeah.
You may not feel like it because the alternative is something that you would never consider doing, but that doesn't mean you're not choosing.
One of the things that you focus on in your work is talking about your own traditions and how others can create traditions for themselves. So what's the importance of traditions, and how do you begin to incorporate them into your holidays?
I think traditions are amazing because that's the foundation that you can give yourself to build on for your holiday. When you choose carefully and respectfully, you know, being respectful of yourself and the other people you prepare with and celebrate with, you can take the things that are most important, not only to you, but those closest to you, and say, okay, this is something we all love to do together, and this is really important to us, so we're going to make this a tradition. And then take these other things we've talked about and say, okay, I've made this a tradition, so now I'm going to make room for it in my life. And then when we do this, I'm going to be totally present. And as you practice this and you exercise these choices and these decisions to be there and to have fun and to really focus on what you're doing and who you're with, year after year, they just get better and better and better. And those are the moments leading up to the holiday that become really enjoyable and all your memories get attached to them. And that's why I think they're so important. And it's very important to spend time thinking about what you want to do there. So to start, you know, as you're just beginning doing this, I would just recommend starting with one or two things. You know, give it a little test run. Just simply choose something that's meaningful to you. And a way to select that to begin with is to pay attention to yourself talking. And to other people, too, if you're trying to pick something that will incorporate other people. In my case, I've like to start with something that incorporated all four of us, my immediate family here with my husband and my girls. But when you're talking to people, listen to what you reminisce about and the kinds of things that you talk about, whether you're talking about it in a longing way or talking about it in a remembering and happy way. Those, either way is a key to say, you know, this could be a good place to look for a tradition. And it doesn't have to be big, and it doesn't have to be flashy. One of our traditions, actually, just involves a box of rocks and my kids.
Wow. Tell us about that. That's interesting.
Well, obviously, from phone call, the holiday my family celebrates is Christmas. And Christmas needs a nativity thing. And a nativity scene requires a place to have the manger. So what we have done is actually carried on a tradition my parents started. We collect a rock from places we travel or places we've lived, things that are important to us. Maybe when my daughter was born, each of them, you know, at the hospital they were at, we picked up a small rock there. At the beach, we picked up some driftwood. Not collecting huge amounts of it, just, again, choosing and selecting one important piece. And we throw them in a box, and then after we've decorated the tree and spent a lot of time reminiscing about ornaments and things, the girls build a cave. And that is our nativity scene. But what happens is, again, we sit there and we tell stories, and we laugh about the time that Tom and I, we were living overseas, we were on a road trip in a little town in Germany. We were in Oberammergau. And we're hiking through the mountains, and there's this huge rock, big flat one. And we went, what a great base that would be for the nativity scene. So my beautiful husband stuck this in his backpack and hauled it probably a couple of miles, in theory back to the car. But when we got off the mountain and out of the woods, we realized that the car was still another half mile down the road. We'd gone the wrong direction.
Oh, no.
But those are, you know, those are family memories, and the kids have heard those stories every year, and so we laugh. And are they monumental? No. Does anyone else find them really interesting? Probably not. But they bind us together, and they give us a shared experience, and they give us those warm, fuzzy feelings. And that's really all we're looking for during the holidays, right, Beth? I mean, we all just want to feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Traditions can give you that. And just keep it simple. Don't try and create a family tradition this year of calling you and your siblings and all their families and your parents and getting everybody up to a mountain cabin to do an old-fashioned Thanksgiving. Don't start there. Start with something simple that you just like to do.
Yeah, and your story shows how highly personal that tradition can be, that I doubt there's anyone else that has that, and that makes it that much more special.
The only people I know of are in my family, and so I think you're right. And based on the looks that I get from people when either I mention it or we were moving back and forth overseas and the poor moving guys had to pack up this box of rocks, they just thought we were absolutely insane. But, again, that's just more memories to add to our stories and, you know, more of the warm, fuzzy feelings and the things that make us laugh and enjoy our time together as a family.
We touched on a little bit before the tradition piece about the word no, and saying no, and you said, oh, you could talk for hours about that one. And so I'm wondering if you have any parting thoughts on the word no and how particularly it can support introverts and our energy.
I think in the time that we have, what I'd like to share with you is, first of all, reminding you that no isn't about no. It's about yes. you know, we get all worked up about this one little word. For some reason, we have decided that saying no to people is rude, it's mean, it's something. We have stories in our head about it. So what I want you to do is to remember that it's not about no, it's about yes. So when it's time to look at things and you're trying to decide, do I go to this event or not, take that and turn it around. Instead of saying, geez, do I have to say no to this event, step back and say, what do I want to say yes to? And for most people, that little change in verbiage will flip the whole thing on its head and make it a more positive and a more meaningful experience. Say, okay, well, what do I want to say yes to? Is this something that is going to contribute to the holiday I decided I wanted this year? And if it is, say yes. And if it's not, then just politely, thank you so much for the invitation. I'm going to have to decline. And that's it. And then the second thing I want to share with you about no is once you've said the word kindly and gently, zip your lip, because talking more will only get you in trouble. One way or another, it will get you into hot water. You will either end up actually making that person feel bad when you didn't want to, because you're trying to explain everything, and they were fine with the idea that you just couldn't come. Or you'll end up promising to do something you didn't want to do. You know, maybe you're not going to go to this event, but now you've essentially promised to come to something next week or after the holidays, and you don't really want to do that either. And as an introvert, especially, these concepts are the same concepts I teach everyone. I just think that for introverts, it's more important to focus on the choosing portion. And no plays into that very heavily. It's what's going to allow you to reserve your energy and or recharge.
And it seems like that no yes can be flipped as well. If I'm saying no to something, or if I say yes to something, what am I saying no to? Mm-hmm. So if I'm saying yes to attending that party and I don't feel like going, I'm saying no to taking care of my own energy or...
Yeah.
No to some downtime. That's a great question. I'm so glad you offered that.
Well, and you're saying no to those things. You're also saying no to the next things that are coming up. Because if you didn't take that downtime, because I know that's really hard for people to do. Say, I'm going to take time for me. If you didn't take that downtime, then the next things you have on your to-do list or your calendar are going to suffer. So just remember that. If you're saying yes to this, you're very likely saying no to whatever's coming up next. And just be conscious of it. You're not going to be perfect at it this year, but start noticing, oh, when I did this, when I went to the thing I didn't want to do, this is what happened. And that will give you more strength to be able to say no next time.
And I'm struck listening to you again how much this applies not just to the holidays, but to so many situations that we find ourselves in. And so Sandy, you've already given us a lot of wonderful tips and questions and things to think about. And I wonder, as we close up here, what would be maybe three easy tips that you might have for introverts who want to have a more peaceful and enjoyable holiday season?
Okay, well, I'll give you three tips, Beth, but they're not going to be a surprise because we've touched on them already.
It's nice to have that reinforcement. Let's bottom line it.
Yeah, I don't want to overload either. You know, the point is to keep it simple. And
yeah.
So the three tips are select your activities carefully, plan in recharging time, put it on your calendar, block it out. Do it in pencil so you can move it if you need to, but make sure you have it in there. You know, whatever it is for you, alone time, a massage, prayer meditation, just sitting down with a book or rocking and looking out the window, whatever you need, make time for it. And number three is enjoy yourself along the way. Enjoy the act of getting ready for the holiday. And that alone will increase your satisfaction and your fuzzy factor, you know, the warm fuzzy factor for the holidays exponentially. If you can do that one thing.
Well, I'm all set now. I feel like I'm ready to go. That's amazing. Thank you for that. Because when I hear you talk about this and how simple it is, I realize how many stories I have around, you know, the holidays and what they mean and what they bring. And I love that you have this invitation to us to create a new story for ourselves that that reframes the holidays as this joyful time.
Oh, thanks, Beth. The idea. That's what I'm trying to teach people, is just help. And it's true. You hit the nail on the head. It's mostly about the stories we have in our head. Mm-hmm. And we can change those. They're just stories.
So speaking of stories, I'm going to shift the type of story that I ask you about. And this is a question that I ask of all of my guests on the show. And that is, if you were granted a year's vacation on Introvert Island, all expenses were paid, and we're assuming it's like 75 and sunny, probably summer, not the holidays. And you only had room for about 3 books in your suitcase. What 3 books would you take and why?
You have any idea how hard it is for me to pick just 3 books?
I know. I know.
I was looking at my nightstand today thinking how I need to dust this weekend, and I think I have 15 or 20 books on there right now.
So, wow, yeah. I'm in the same boat. So, yeah. Well, remember, it's only a year.
It's
not the rest of your life. So
this is true. And since I'm on Introvert Island, I do think that although I am not going to obviously have a lot of parties and things and family functions that I have to be at every day, I'd like a couple friends with me. So I think I would take Outlander by Diana Gabaldon, because Jamie and Claire are just old friends. It's one of the few books in my life, novels, I should say. It's one of the few novels in my life that I have reread. They're just old friends, and it's a great story, and still just hooks me in. I also am a person who needs to think about things. I need to have something to mull over in my mind. If there isn't something in my life, I'm going to pick something out of someone else's and start messing with it in my head. So I think I need to take something that would give me something new to contemplate. So I think for my second book, I would pick Wayne Dyer's Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Life, because in there he has his own opinions and his own thoughts, which are provoking in and of themselves, but he includes, and I'm not sure how to pronounce this, so I'm probably going to mangle it, but the Tao Te Ching, which has 81 verses. So I figure every few days that gives me a little something that I can read that will be, you know, touch on a spiritual base, let me spend that God time and kind of mull it over and go to that more thoughtful plane. And for a third book, I think I would pick something a little unconventional. I think I would actually choose my biggest family photo album, spend that time reminiscing and thinking back and enjoying old memories and looking at my kids' baby pictures and all that good stuff, you know, going back to our weddings and anniversaries, all the good times with my honey.
And so often those photo albums end up sort of collecting dust on the shelf, and we don't pull them out and look at them often enough. So what a beautiful thing to take with you.
Something to make me smile, right? What else could it do?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it makes me smile, and I don't even see the photos, and it just makes me smile thinking about that. So that's lovely. And I appreciated especially what you said about Outlander, and that we have, well, I wouldn't quite call them imaginary friends, but, you know, that introverts, you know, one of the things that I think makes us so special is that we do connect with those kind of made-up worlds in books, and that it's perfectly feasible for us to feel that level of connection with a character and to get a level of satisfaction out of that relationship almost as much as we might with, you know, someone flesh and blood sitting across from us, that we can bring them into our inner world that way. So, Sandy, if somebody wanted to learn more about you and Heartfilled Holidays, where can they find you and get in touch with you?
Well, as with everyone else and all the social networking and everything, there are several different things, but really the best thing is just to go to the Heartfilled Holidays website, and that is www.heartfilledholidays.com, heartfilledholidays.com. Because when you get there, first thing you can do is just grab the free holiday help kit. It's got some great Kickstart items in there to get you a few more, you know, ideas and tips and just get you thinking, moving forward. And then, of course, you would be among the first to know when anything really good and interesting comes up.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can poke around the website. You know, there's the blog and my Facebook and Twitter connections. And you can kind of poke around and see what works. You know, if you're ready to do a full event to be able to walk through these ideas and these concepts more clearly and in a way that lays out a blueprint for you, you know, sign up for an event. If you just want a little inspiration, get started, get the book, take a peek. See what works for you, but make sure you get the holiday help kit, and that will also let them get to know me better, too.
Thank you. When this is posted, there will be time for people to order that book and receive it probably just before Thanksgiving and get a good booster shot of inspiration and ideas for making it a heartfelt holiday. So thank you very much, Sandy.
Oh, thank you so much, Beth. This has been a lot of fun.
This is Beth Below, the Introvert Entrepreneur. A very, very special thank you to Sandy Fowler for joining me today, and thank you for spending this time with us. Join me each week for insights, information, and inspiration for introverts who know that success is an inside job. If you'd like to learn more, please visit me online at theintrovertentrepreneur.com. You can also find me and a growing community of introverts on Facebook at facebook.com/theintrovertentrepreneur. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next time.